the book of Tamar, finish up probably tonight in chapter 22, and we're going to go on to 23 if we have the time. But chapter 22, and we stopped at verse 22 last time, so let's go ahead and read that. Let's back up to verse 21, Charles. Jeremiah 22, and beginning at verse 21, 22, and 23, starting with 21. I have spoken unto thee in my prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. This hath been my matter from my youth, and thou obeyest not my voice. The wind shall eat up all thy pastures, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. O inhabitant of Lebanon, that makest thy nest in the cedars, how gracious shall thou be when pangs come upon me, the pain as of a woman in travail. Right in verse 21. Remember in verse 18, who is Jeremiah speaking of here? What leader of Judah? What leader is he speaking of there in verse 18? What is it?
Josiah.
Well, Josiah was the father, and who is the son here? Jehoiakim. Okay, Jehoiakim. The son of Josiah. See, he's the son, but he's speaking of Jehoiakim, the king, and he's talking to him in verse 21, in thy prosperity. What is prosperity? How would you define that?
Everything's going good for
you. Well, there's such a thing as some evangelists are preaching, it's called the prosperity gospel. What does that mean?
That's the name of the claim.
Name of the claim. All right, so what would that mean? Now, in plain English, what would that imply, name and claim?
Speak it into existence.
Speak it into existence, the words, you'll do it. Just you'll have to see. And if you follow the Lord, you'll be prosperous. You'll get by and so on. Well, sometimes it happens, but sometimes it doesn't happen. See, this is the prosperity gospel. But remember in Joshua chapter 1, it talks about prosperity. What does Joshua say in Joshua 1:8? Thou shalt,
this book of
the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make that way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So that's prosperity in the Lord, in His Word. Is that right? That's a good prosperity. Now, are all Christians prosperous in material matters?
No.
No. Are all Christians not prosperous in material matters?
No.
No. Some are this way, some are that way. But should all Christians be prosperous in spiritual matters?
Yes.
Absolutely. There should no lack be spiritual depth and perception of the things of the Lord. In fact, in the book of 3 John, John said, I hope that your what? Your body prospers even as your soul is prospering. I hope that your health prospers even as your soul. Oh my, that would be a horrible curse on many people to say that we hope their body would be as strong as their soul and the spirit in their sight. See, if their soul is weak and watery and down to nothing and without any sustenance, they would waste away their physical, but that's what he prays. That's interesting. We would pray it sometimes maybe the other way around. But in that prosperity, what did Jehoiakim say to the Lord? And is this typical or is it atypical? In verse 21. In his prosperity. What is it? I will not hear. What was he not going to hear?
Jeremiah,
what the Lord had to say in his word. Now, was this just in his prosperity or has he done this before? Since he was young, it was his manner. Now, what happens when a little child will not hear either his parents or the words of God? What happens to that little child?
Sometimes he gets killed.
Sometimes he goes astray. I mean, if he says no, see, to his parents. Now, you know, I said before, but I was a teacher there in Philadelphia School District for 19 years, 18 with the junior high and one with the senior high. I tell you, some of those little brats, I recall, they didn't care for the teacher. They didn't obey. Now, you know that if they don't have respect to their teacher, you know their mom and dad have a little respect also. They didn't respect the principal. There's a lack of, and you know they don't respect the Lord. I mean, see, they go astray. The fact that it says the wicked are estranged from the womb, they go astray from those speaking lies. It's a terrible, and what did David say? Behold, and in in sin did my mother conceive me. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother, not the conception of sin, but in the very nature of the conception, right from the womb, from the very beginning, was sin. We have a sin nature. And that's a terrible thing. So he said, "Listen here, stop this boy. Have you ever seen a little child stop his or her feet and just feed it to their parents? You see it, and the boots are all different places. Horrible. This is what this Jehoiakim, he's a big king. You think he'd be different. You see, he's a king, he should know. What was the requirement in Deuteronomy 17 for every king that came upon the kingdom? What did God say he must do? Remember? The first thing, to take upon himself the words of God and write himself a copy of the word of God. Probably the law of Moses, first 5 books. The second thing is to do is what? Read therein all the days of his life. See? And the third thing, do what it says. See, this is what first Deuteronomy 17 said of the king. So this Jehoiakim, now he had a good beginning. Josiah was a good king. No question about it. As I said last week, what I had about Josiah? That's right. No king is better than Josiah. Either had it before or after. It's a great street of the Lord. But his son, Jehoiakim, refused. And obeyest not my voice, obeyest not my voice. Now, where do we see the voice of God today? Does he speak to us? But to audibly? Through his word, okay. Do some teachers teach that he speaks audibly? Some groups and so on. Yeah, they listen to voices. But we don't believe that. We believe the scriptures give us the word of God. And that's the voice of God in a sense, but it is through the scriptures. And obeyest not my voice. Then in verse 22, what was the
job? But God sometimes gives you a conscience
and tells you what is right. Mm-hmm.
There's a conscience.
Mm-hmm. Conscience.
But I guess it's not
correct. Is that what?
Exactly the same thing.
Now, the second, by the conscience, now it says that some people's consciences in the New Testament have been what? Seared. What does that mean, seared?
That means that you cannot differentiate between good and evil.
All right. When you sear something, you burn it, right? And if you have a scar that's been burned, you touch it, is there any sensation in the water? You just feel something pressure. There's no real sensation, see? And so a conscience is seared with a hot iron, there's no sensation. So you just do anything, it doesn't bother you. Now, have some people seared the conscience in this world? What about those people, 600,000 people with children taken away for pornography and all kinds of filthiness? Their conscience must be seared with a hot iron. Have no conscience. Murder. Was it?
Illuminati.
That's right. Okay. With the wicked, corrupt, the politicians have it, they're seared with a hot iron. They don't care who they destroy. Anna?
Evolutionists,
yes. We're just animals. No wonder they're acting like animals. In the schools, and the colleges, and high schools, and all so on.
Abortion doctors,
that's a state of high. Yes, Anna?
See, when you think about it, it doesn't really make sense. And then you wonder, I mean, you can say that just a wrong or do it by an explosion.
You don't know that sense that they say that the world came into existence by an explosion.
Big bang.
Yeah, big bang. You know, it's crazy.
And then you wonder.
See, how could anything explode and then all of a sudden come out with beautiful trees and shrubs and animals and people? See, all different things perfectly arranged. Impossible, huh?
The tsunami, that was like an explosion, and look,
yes.
That didn't create order.
That didn't create order, it brought disorder, chaos, didn't it? They think of explosion in a junkyard, you know? Mm-hmm. All the things come up and they come down and forms a catalog, right? No, even a form. I didn't afford it. It's absolutely dysfunction. I didn't afford it. I don't know if you had a four, that's all right. Now, so what does God promise because of the disobedience to Jehoiakim and his people? Verse 22.
The wind is
going to
eat the
pastures. Eat up all our pastures, and what else? 11. What else? The lover shall go in the decorative. That pastor, not a word pastor, a lot of times sometimes refers to the kings. the leaders, and those that work the shepherds that are spiritual leaders, the prophets, the shepherds, the pastors, those that follow, those that, that lead people, are lovers, idolaters, you see, probably. And then when he goes into captivity with the people here, where is he going to captivity? What captivity? Into Babylon. Where were from Jerusalem? Clear over to Babylon. See, God didn't just take them a few miles away north, but he took them hundreds and a thousand miles over there to Babylon. And I don't know if Babylon wanted with it, but they were wicked and they had wicked people to take over. And the lovers were going to captivity. Then when they're in captivity in verse 22, what's going to happen? To be ashamed and confounded. See, sometimes it takes calamity to bring people to their knees. What does it mean when somebody says they haven't fallen down low enough? What does that mean? They haven't gotten down low enough. What does that mean?
Bottom.
Haven't hit bottom. What does that mean?
That they still feel like they can get away with things.
Yeah.
Until calamity strikes them, they have nowhere to go. But
yes. But when they do hit bottom, what do some people say? What might happen when they hit bottom?
Well, is that
the
only way to go?
Only go on, so they say, well, maybe this was the end. I want to. Now, if the Lord is in it to help them, that's the real answer. Just bootstrap religion and just go ahead by your own good works and so on, that doesn't really last. But if the Lord is in it, but that's why a lot of drugs and alcoholics and dope fiends, you know, they haven't that far enough down before they really. I remember one of my students, I go over Monday night to the Bible Baptist Institute there in Philadelphia. Question about Baptist Church. One of my students had a son that was in prison. The mother wanted to send him a Bible, we sent him a Bible. Then the son got out of prison. I asked the mother, I said, how did your son get out of prison? She said, I paid the fine. I said, what was the amount? I think she said over $1,000 bail to get that boy out of prison. You know, the next couple of weeks, he was out and right back in prison. I said, what are you going to do now? Well, probably go ahead and get out again. I said, absolutely. He's going to go right back in. Well, it's too bad. Some mothers are that way. Oh, I love my son. Sorry. But what is tough love? What does that mean?
Let him read.
They kind of learn. I don't know how that young man is going to learn if the mother bails him out every time he falls. Does a young child learn how to walk if every time he stumbles, people you don't learn to pick yourself up? There's certain things. I'm all for compassion, don't get me wrong, but you see, there's such a thing as she thought she was doing right, but then I said, well, how did you get back into jail again, second time?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, I was with these other people, you know, and then she said, but they did wrong, and the police thought he was wrong, he wasn't any fun. That's what she says every time. He wasn't, he was with the wrong crowd, they were doing wrong, and so he got blamed for it and all that nonsense. No. The wickedness, the shameless, and the confounders for our wickedness. The Jehoiakim was going to see some shame. Then in verse 23, he talks about a figure here of Lebanon and the cedars. What was true in Lebanon?
The cedar trees,
beautiful, beautiful land. And there was not the cedar. There was now high, great big high. The king is high. He's got a big, powerful position. And but what's going to happen to him in verse 23?
He's
going to have pain. Yeah, going to have pain. Pain, just like a woman prevailed before she has a child. God is going to punish him. And let's read verse 24, 5, and 6 together. As I live, said the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with the signet upon my right hand, yet will I pluck thee thence. And I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And, let's see, 24, 5, and 6, okay. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country where you were not born, and where you still are. All right? So in verse 24, we're talking about Coniah. Who is Coniah?
Son of
Jehoiakim. And who is the father of Jehoiakim? So here's the third generation. Coniah is another word for Jeconiah. And Jeconiah was under a curse. You see, this is the curse of Jeconiah. Now, in fact, Jehoiakim was under a curse. Jehoiakim was the one where, in Isaiah's time, where the word of God was read before the king. And the king hated what he heard. And so he tore up the word of God, threw it into the fire, and burned it. And Jeremiah was told, write another copy. The lion wrote another, but this Jehoiakim was cursed, and therefore the lion was cursed. There was Jehoiakim's son, Benaiah, and this is the curse that God put upon him. And that's why in the book of Matthew, the line of Joseph is through Zechariah, this cursed line. But the line of Mary is not through Zechariah, it's completely out. So he avoids, Lord Jesus avoids the curse by coming through the line of Mary, you see, in Luke. But Matthew, you got Zechariah. Cursed, as it says. And when the sin of Mary, I will properly confess. And what's it going to do with this Coriah, the son of Jehoiakim, in verse 25? Alright, so what, when some people go for refuge, what's called? Refuge is another name for what?
Sanctuary.
Now, I believe that seek thy life. Is God going to give him sanctuary for that? What's he going to do? And will he give him sanctuary and protect him? What's he going to do? What's God going
to
do?
Give him to
the hand. Give him into the hand for them to seek thy life. Then, whose face thou fearest. Now, do we fear evil people? Should we fear evil people? Mm-hmm. Should we fear powerful people? Now, I realize there's a fear of the Lord, which, you know, we should fear the Lord first and foremost, but certain people can do us harm, right? Mm-hmm. You don't go up to a big 300-pound football player and call him names, or you wouldn't call him a name, but I mean, he just sort of, he would squash it.
Did he catch you?
What was the boy's name?
David.
Who was the giant's name?
Goliath.
Did David fear Goliath?
No.
Whose power did he go forward in?
The Lord's.
The Lord's. What did Saul suggest that he do?
Take his own armor.
Take Saul's armor.
Yeah.
And go out. Did David try it out?
Yeah.
He tried it out. And nobody did. Did he keep it?
No, he couldn't.
He threw it. He couldn't. He not use it. What did he take? What happened?
Splash with the book
and faith in the Lord.
Right.
He said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and mouth of the bear, delivered me out of the hand of this Philistine. And so the Lord's power was a big power, wasn't it, Anna?
Even without the slings and the slings stones, he could have won.
And with that faith, he could have won. But the Lord so desired that he had the stone. He was an excellent shot. Can you imagine a big giant, taller than that young man, with a helmet on, with all the armor, to sling that stone to hit right where it would knock him down, and then knock him out, didn't kill him, knocked him down, and how did David kill that giant? Quite with whose sword?
His own.
He took Goliath's sword out and was sent. Did David have a sword in his hand? No, he did not have a sword. Yes.
Yeah?
His own
armor
got him.
His own
armor got him. Yes, that hand?
The word God.
Yes.
And the sword?
Yes, it is. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the giant defied David, didn't he? Cursed him by his gods. Yeah, I did. What do I thought? Little dogs and little tiny little things coming out. Now, if you go home with your telling, you know, it's a little small thing. But you defied the armies of the living God. And David's brothers, Jehoiakim, what was his name, the older brother? One of his brothers, he said, why don't you come out here, David? Will you leave those few sheep in the ruins? Come out here and see about what was David's response? The lion, was it? One of his brothers, I can't remember. What was that? 17% of 70, was it?
You say, what did I do now?
Well, is there not a cause? That was the response that David had when the lion, I think it was a lion, was it? Yeah, a lion. Friday night, on the 17th, 20th, 17th night, and Elijah said, "What do you do? Leave those two sheep in the wilderness. Is there not a cause?" Now, what was the cause when David met the Goliath? What was the cause?
To show
them
the light of God.
So the faith in God, that was stronger than this heathen wicked God. So, yes, Anne?
Well, you might not have known about that at the time, so it's possible when he said that, he was thinking about, giving food to his brothers or something.
Food to his brothers? All right. So, he did, was told by his father, take this food to your brothers out of the battle, and why don't you come out to see the battle? So, but anyway, to this situation here. Yeah, Ron?
He did come to kill the giant.
No.
He came to bring food to his brothers.
He came in obedience to his father.
And when he was there, he had a new challenge, different challenge.
Different challenge. When he was here, that's right, because we have to meet the challenge that God brings to us on that particular day. We have to meet him in the power of the Lord if we're successful. The power of the Lord, not our own power and strength. And you remember, he was there to give the food. How often did this giant come out to the armies of Israel?
Daily.
Morning and evening. I think it was Friday. Morning and evening, he came out. And while he was there, David happened to be there. Who is this giant? What is this person? So then he had a different plan, a different purpose.
He was surprised to know him as fighting the giant.
He was surprised.
In fact, he
asked the question, has no one volunteered to go after the giant? That's right.
He was telling him,
that's right. What was the deal that Goliath did to the Israelites?
Send me the best men, if I destroy him, then we win.
Uh-huh.
And vice versa.
That's right, we'll be your servants.
He didn't do this with some of the country presidents.
Yeah.
National president.
Yeah.
So there was the other people who killed. Put the president here.
So
the
same thing. Yeah. Right, that's right. But the deal was, if you win, then we'll have all people be your slaves. If you win, we'll be your slaves. So that was the situation. So the hand with him that thou fierce, whose face thou fierce, and the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Who was Nebuchadnezzar in verse 25? And the Chaldeans. And Chaldeans, that's another name for battle. See, the Chaldea, that's Chaldea, that whole time. Who came from Chaldea?
Abraham.
From what city?
Ur
of the Chaldees. And the Lord said, go out of here and go out of the battle shortly. Stop the prayer a little bit, and find a kind of land of promise. And so I'm going to give it in the hand of those fearful people that were wicked and evil. 4, 5, and 6. And then in verse 26, what is he going to do further? And who else? Mother? And how long was that?
7 years.
7 years of
captivity.
He's going to die. Not going back, see. So I don't know how long he was when he went out, but if there's 7 years of captivity, and he was, say, he's not going to die. He's going to die. To stand and watch it. Thither is Smith and I, despised, broken idol. They see a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Wherefore are they cast out? He and the sea, and are cast into a land which they knew not. O earth, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, grant ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David, and ruling any more in Judah. Alright, so in verse 27, did Jehoiakim, would he want to return to Jerusalem, the land there? Under this verse? Yes. The land now desired to return. They desire to return. But will they be able to return? No, they're going to stay there. Now it talks about Canaan. Despised broken idol. What value would a broken idol be? In fact, what value would even an idol if it wasn't broken? Is that as an idol anything? No. Satan is behind it. Of course, people who worship idols worship Satan in heaven.
They wouldn't stumble.
But the broken idol, okay, that's all it is. A vessel that is no pleasure. Do you have any vessels in your house that you don't like? They're not as honorable as other vessels?
Sure.
Okay. If you don't like them, why should you get rid of them?
That's looking at my can. I don't cook very much, but yesterday I cooked some squash. When I get the pan out and the cover was dirty, and I used a frying pan, and the handle's broken. I have it fixed with a rubber band. And today when I put it away, I thought, this pan is 56 years old, and it doesn't even count what's in the store.
Yeah.
But I don't want any new pans.
Good. So we're good.
It's strange, this is a broken handle and everything. But I don't want any new pans.
But here it is.
If I were younger, I might.
Right.
And probably I'd end up getting a new one if I said this.
So here it is. Tonight, it's just like a wrestler wears no pen. Nobody likes it. Yes, I am.
I only want broken handles.
What?
What about broken handles?
I have no answer on this subject.
Yeah, what?
We have a pan that...
You got a broken hand? Broken pan?
A pan that handles found by fixture.
By fixture? By friction. Handle by friction. So that's what a broken mess is. And they cast around their seed and into the land they know not. Then in verse 29, earth, hear the word of the Lord. Should the earth hear the word of the Lord today?
Yes.
It certainly should. Should they hear an accurate word? If they're in English, they're accurate in Spanish, accurate in Italian, accurate in any language, Russian. And the proper Hebrew, proper Greek text, our King James Bible has it, we believe it's accurate. And then again, the Lord repeats this in verse 30 about the man Cornan. Shall he prosper? No. In fact, shall his seed prosper?
No.
Shall his seed stand any longer in the throne of David?
No.
See, that's why it's so important that the virgin birth took place. If Joseph and Mary had normal union, that would be, first of all, Lord Jesus would be a sinner, wouldn't be a savior, wouldn't be a perfect man, perfect God. But secondly, he would have come through David's line, Joseph's line, which is through Coniah, and God pronounced a curse on that line. No child would prosper. So that's the way the Lord saw to it. Yes, John?
Remember Mrs. Hanline?
Mm-hmm.
She was a faithful church girl, but she was unsaved. And when I talked to her, she admitted she didn't know she had not received Christ because one of the two things, the virgin birth and the bodily resurrection.
She didn't understand, didn't believe.
And you and Pastor Powers, Peyton, went over there and explained the church to her.
That's right. And she accepted the Lord because of it. Let's turn now to Jeremiah 23. We just had time to read a few verses and we'll take this up next week, Lord willing. Let's read Jeremiah 23. The first three verses are all about these wicked prophets. Starting with verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, and driven them away, and not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your days, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. And this is the fruitful and increase. Let's take this up, Lord willing, next week. This is chapter 23. A lot of bad prophets that the Lord is talking about. But do you have any comments or questions before we close tonight?
Yeah, this one.
Yes, Joe.
It tells me that we have to come up the line of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
The Holy Spirit is the seed of Jesus, so there's no real line there anyway.
No, that's true. That means just sort of the physical line, just the one, because there's still the seed of David. In other words, it's even though it's a foster father, not a real father, but through the seed of David anyway, to hear him say this. But Mary was also through the line of David. Both of them were line of David. You're right, there was no real line because it wasn't a real father. But just to give the authority, it's just the semblance of through David's line. That's by the seed of, born of the seed of David, mentions the New Testament. Other comments or questions you might have before we go? All right, Father, let's close with a word of prayer. Now, Father, we thank thee that we can have faith in thee and in thy word. As the scripture has said, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thy word, Lord, must be cast to all the world and must be accepted and preached. And Lord, we ask that thou mayest use us to believe it and to have faith in it and to follow it. Pray we pray for each one of our families to have it here. That thou bless us and use us for thy glory. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.